You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Director Martin Scorsese's latest film is Silence, set in 17th century Japan. Two young Jesuit priests from Portugal, played by Andrew Garfield and Adam Driver, go to Japan to search for their lost mentor, Father Ferreira.
Ferreira is lost to us. He denounced God in public and surrendered the faith.
That's not possible. Father Ferreira risked his life to spread our faith all over Japan.
It seems to me that our mission here is more urgent than ever. We must go find Father Ferreira.
This is in your hearts, then, both of you?
Yes.
Then I must trust God has put it down. The moment you set foot in that country, you step into high danger.
The film is based on Shusaku Endo's 1966 novels. It's been nominated for an Oscar for cinematography. And when it came to getting the details right, Scorsese and his team turned to Michigan State University history professor Liam Brockie, who is with us now. Liam, this is your area of study?
Yes, it is. I work on missionaries in Asia in the 16th and 17th century, so this is precisely what I work on.
So what did you think when you heard that Martin Scorsese was actually making this film?
I was very excited about it, but it's a topic that is very, very unknown to most people that would see Hollywood movies. So I was really surprised that they were going to make this movie. But when they did, I was very enthusiastic about it. And even when I heard the first murmurs of that this might be made into a movie, I contacted Martin Scorsese's production company to suggest that I might be of help, that not that I thought they were ever going to respond.
And then they did.
And then they did, yes. They were very enthusiastic, actually, because I guess they realized that I actually do work on this topic and I know something about it beyond what you could find on the internet.
In fact, your book, The Visitor, Andre Palmiero and the Jesuits in Asia, was actually about someone who wrote to the historical figure whose story inspired the novel.
Exactly, the figure of Father Ferreira, as they call him. He begins and ends my book, The Visitor, because basically my book is about his boss, his superior, who comes to East Asia to find out how the Jesuits are doing their missions. And this is sort of the last great challenge that Palmiero faces, is how to deal with the story of an apostasy.
Yes. Give us a nutshell for those who have not seen it. We know that we have these two young priests and they want to find their lost mentor. They fear he has been completely lost, that he has stepped away from his faith. But kind of give us a sense of what the story is about.
Well, the story is the end, the very, very end of the destruction of the missions in Japan, which for the preceding nearly a century had created a community of about 300,000 Christians in Japan, thanks to the efforts of Jesuit missionaries from Portugal, from Spain, from Italy, and to Japanese converts as well, who created this church. And what happens in the beginning of the 17th century there, there's a crackdown, an official crackdown that sees Christianity as a foreign influence that basically is a foreign influence which is potentially politically subversive. And so there is an attempt to destroy and to uproot this Christian community by killing off every last one of the priests and basically forcing all of the laymen and women to apostatize, to give up Christianity, to become Buddhists. Many of these people who had been Christians for two or three generations by this point, as I suggested. This is a story of 100 years. So the movie tells us almost the epilogue to that story, because no one hitherto among the European priests had apostatized. They had all died as martyrs, and there had been hundreds of them. And this is the story of the one priest who said, okay, I can't take the torture anymore, and decided it was more virtuous to give up rather than to submit to further torture.
Well, let's take a listen now to a clip from Silence. Here you hear Liam Neeson as Ferreira talking to Father Rodriguez, played by Andrew Garfield.
Don't speak to me. You have no right to speak to me.
Oh, I do. Because you are just like me. You see Jesus in Gethsemane and believe your trial is the same as his. Those five in the pit are suffering too, just like Jesus. But they don't have your pride. They would never compare themselves to Jesus. Do you have the right to make them suffer? I heard the cries of suffering in this same cell, and I acted.
You excuse yourself! You excuse yourself! That is the spirit of darkness!
And what would you do for them? Pray? And get what in return? Oh, only more suffering. A suffering only you can end. Not God.
Go away from me.
I pray too, Rodriguez. It doesn't help. Go on. Pray. But pray with your eyes open.
Liam Brockie, what does that scene say to you about prayer and suffering and really about what those missionaries were doing at that point in Japan?
In the real historical tale that's told in the movie, the arrival of more missionaries after Christianity has been outlawed, after most of the priests to the last man, and the last man is Cristóvão Ferreira, have been hunted down and captured and tortured, many of them to death. What's happening here is that the arrival of more priests will produce more suffering, will produce more persecutions. And that argument is being used against Rodriguez, who shows up in order to try to recapture, if you will, rekindle the faith in Cristóvão Ferreira, and also to try and shore up to the extent that he can. Of course, he doesn't speak Japanese. The Christianity as practiced by the peasants who he meets, who are still Christians living in the shadows. And basically what the argument that's being made is, you coming here to Japan, you think you're doing God's work, but indeed what's happening is you're merely making the persecutors work even more forcefully to destroy. And in destroying, they will kill more lives beyond your own.
Liam, you're a historian, and I'm sure you hear from people who would say, you know, those Europeans shouldn't have been there. You know, their being in Japan opened the country possibly to the threat of European interference. How do you answer that point?
Well, I answer that by saying that this is not a story about colonialism, because Japan did not experience colonialism in the same way that South America did, that North America did. It did not have the arrival of European armies and their minions of European colonial states to create a Christian church at the point of the sword. The Jesuit missionaries who show up in Japan in the 16th century are by themselves. They come with Portuguese merchants who leave them off at the ports. And then these Jesuit missionaries invest in learning Japanese culture and create a Christianity that is very much in tune with Japanese culture. They adapt Christian norms to Japanese culture, and that is, they use Japanese language in so much as possible. They dress like Japanese. Their churches look like Japanese buildings. Mm-hmm. This process of cultural accommodation is an adaptation of Christianity. It's not the imposition of European forms of Christianity. That's why Christianity looks very, very different in Japan than it does, say, in Mexico, say, in the Philippines. And so it's difficult to say this is a story of colonialism and this is just Europeans going and destroying indigenous cultures. That's very clearly not the case here in Japan.
Liam, what kinds of questions did you get asked? How were you able particularly to help the Scorsese team get the details right?
Well, they asked a lot of questions about the dress of the missionaries, about the type of things that the missionaries would have had with them. That is, in a couple of scenes, for example, there's a scene that shows when they're saying a mass. And in the saying of the mass, the question was, well, what things do you need to say a mass that a missionary would have actually had with him in order to say a mass? And then working with the props department to get the items that they had correct. So they open a book, and the book has to be a book that's turned to a page which shows the beginning of the Mass. It can't be something that's out of place, a singing of the Psalms or something else. It actually has to be the prayers of the Mass, because that's what they're using. Another example are when the missionaries talk and they say certain things that sound like they make sense because we recognize them in our English-inflected culture of Christianity. There was a lot of back and forth over getting the phrases right so they would make sense first in Jesuits' thought and also in 16th century and 17th century Roman Catholicism, keeping in mind that the English in the world that we inherited through our culture are not Roman Catholics. They're Anglicans or other forms of Protestants. So what we see is we have to make this movie Catholicism that makes sense. We have to make it Jesuits who make sense in the 17th century, and we have to make it the Japanese reception of that Catholicism that makes sense, a missionary Catholicism. Those are all the things that I work on, that I study in my work, and that I was able to suggest go more in this direction or don't emphasize that so much, rather focus on this theme in the words that the missionaries use.
Liam, what was it like for you to sit in a theater and see something that you have spent so many years studying and teaching and writing about brought to life?
That's the most exciting part of this, because for so much of the back and forth that I went through with the production team, and it was about 3 years of responding to emails and telephone calls and the like, sort of taking them to the limits of historical knowledge. That is, we're talking about an affair that happened 300 years ago on the other side of the world, of which we have very few documentary traces. And so to recreate that world, which is what I do in my head when I make my historical investigations, and when I do my research and write on these things, to see it on the screen is really amazing, because what it does is it takes my imagination and it projects it onto the screen. Not that it is my vision. Indeed, it's not. It's Martin Scorsese's vision. But what it suggests to me is that I was a good communicator of a lot of the things that I talked about in my research and the communications that I had with them, so that they were able to transmit some of my imagination to the screen as well.
Liam Baracchi, Michigan State University professor of history and consultant to director Martin Scorsese on his latest film, Silence. Liam, thank you so much for talking with us today and taking our questions on Stateside.
Thank you very much, Cynthia.